I think what we're most excited about as we move forward into our 2024 range will be obviously 110 coming later, the 100 U7N coming in this year to obviously replace the U7K with the 3D platform across everything will be exciting. But then sitting below those, we will bring in a 100 E7N Pro, so a kind of QLED Pro 144Hz product, which is, I think, going to be a kind of a real sweet spot for that kind of 100-inch type market. And also an E7N, 100 E7N, so a slightly kind of lower spec kind of QLED proposition. So still, again, versus the market, an improvement in kind of some products that are out there. But I think the view for 100-inch moving forward will be, yeah, significant growth.
Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's TV Display and Calibration Podcast for the 12th of August 2024. And joining me this week, we have Dr. Julian Scott. Hi, Jules.
Hi, Phil.
And joining us from Hisense is Rob Andrews. Hi, Rob.
Hi there, Phil.
Lovely to see you. Good to see you again. It's been 8 months, actually, or is it 7 months? We last spoke at CES, which seems like it was a lifetime ago. It was such a long time ago, CES. A lot of water under the bridge. We are going to talk, obviously, Hisense range for 2024 today. We're also going to talk about big screen TVs. So that's what's coming up in this episode. So before we get into the competition, if you want to watch this video on YouTube, you can do that on our YouTube channel, AV Forums Podcasts. That is different from the main channel. So it's AV Forums Podcasts. Go and subscribe to the channel. You'll never miss a podcast, which comes out every Monday at 7 p.m. And you can also watch our, sorry, listen to the audio-only version, which is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other providers. So make sure you do that. If you're enjoying our content and podcasts, if you think it's worth telling your friends or your peers or people on Facebook groups that you're members of or forums that you're members of, then please feel free to share this podcast with those people. It's great to find new people and bring them into the hobby or this cult, as we like to say. So yeah, appreciate if you want to do that. And who are we? We're AV Forums. We're one of the largest AV and hi-fi communities on the internet, and we've been around since 2000. I am the editor. I've been around since 2003, so over 20 years I've dedicated to AV Forums. I'm Phil Hinton, the editor. Also joining us on the podcast is Jules. So Jules, just give us a brief introduction as to who you are.
Well, I joined AV Forums in 2003 because of the high quality of the editorial. I was an enthusiast and then became a professional video calibrator in 2011. I'm THX PVA certified video and a PVA certified instructor as well. And I am now, very recently, I've joined Habitec as their cinema specialist.
Excellent. Rob, welcome back to the podcast. Just briefly tell everybody who you are and what you do.
So yeah, hi guys. My name's Rob Andrews. I work here at Hisense, and I'm the head of strategy and go-to-market for us and our TV business. Prior to Hisense, I've worked at a number of the significant players in the market, kind of Chinese, Japanese, and also Korean brands. So I think been in the industry around about 20 odd years now. Not that you tell, particularly on my LinkedIn profile.
Well, welcome along to the podcast. It's always great to see you. If you're a regular to our videos and you follow our CES coverage, you'll know who Rob is. He's been on quite a few videos now from CES. We always see you at the beginning of the year. It's become a tradition, really, for the last almost 20 years, where a lot of companies give out the roadmap, tell us what's going to happen for the year ahead, and you did that. So we've actually seen two of the models now. We've had them in for review, but for everybody out there, maybe you could take us through the TV range for 2024 from a UK perspective, because obviously you're UK based, but obviously a lot of these models now are worldwide, and the only difference is the tuners and some of the smart platforms, but basically a lot of the model numbers. It never used to be that way, did it? You used to have a U7 that was different in the UK to the US to other territories. They all tend to be around about the same now, don't they?
Yeah, so I mean, certainly that is one of the biggest issues that certainly when I joined the company, as you say, I think if we go back, I think 2, 3 years, we had our naming architecture across the US, particularly US, Australia, and UK, was identical, but unfortunately, product portfolio was and specification was quite different. So I think, you know, one of the big pushes that we've had as we've kind of grown as a brand is about how we look at our proposition on a kind of a more global level. So certainly very pleasing from our perspective over the past 2 years, we've seen a certainly a uniformity come to our product proposition from a technical perspective. So a UX, a U8, a U7 that you see in the UK will be a same specification as you now see in the US. So it's a global platform. That said, there are some nuances. So obviously within the UK and Europe and also Australasia, we operate on a Vida operating system. The US, however, choose, given the dynamics of that market, they have a Google proposition. But fundamentally, the TV, the guts of the TV and the TV technology is consistent across all those territories, which is really important for us as we move forwards.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to stress, though, is the smart TV system, the Vida system, especially for people in the UK. Because if you get a Google TV in the UK, 9 times out of 10, you're not getting the UK catch up, you're not getting BBC iPlayer, you're not getting that on that platform. So, Vida is Hisense's proprietary system. So, maybe explain that a little bit and obviously the services that you get on there that are different.
Yeah, so as you say, Vida is a Hisense entity and has been around for many years. It's the fastest growing smart platform globally, which is kind of relatively consistent with obviously the relative performance of Hisense throughout that period. But certainly, what it gives us incredibly secure, incredibly fast platform, which is continually growing. Is although it's Hisense kind of IP and owned, we do support the Vida platform across a number of other brands. So you see really kind of Vida moving out into the market as our other kind of tires and OS type operating systems kind of moving into kind of a wider brand audience. Certainly for us in the UK, it gives us that kind of flexibility and kind of hopefully speed to market. So our proposition around kind of catch-up services and apps, as well as support for all of the kind of the key global streaming services, is particularly strong. And certainly, it also proved to be a huge advantage for us as we engaged this year with the launch of our 2024 range, with all 4K models supporting freely. Obviously, a huge amount of development work with our partners at Everyone TV, as well as the Vida team, really working incredibly hard to deliver that. And give us the really kind of honored position of being kind of first to market and the kind of launch partner for Freely as a brand in FY24 is particularly something that we're very proud of, certainly.
Yeah, and maybe you can explain to listeners who maybe haven't heard of Freely what that service is, because to be honest with you, at CES you mentioned it to me and I just gave you a blank expression because I hadn't heard of it. I had no idea. I'd missed that message. So maybe you could give us the message in here. What is Freely? Why is it important?
Yeah, so for me, I mean, Freely is I think unashamedly the future of UK terrestrial TV. So what Freely provides is an incredibly clever and sophisticated solution. So my kind of my sales pitch to you, and I think Phil is probably what we said at the time is for me, Freely really gives you the ability to have wireless TV. It's wireless TV for the masses. Fine, you still need a power cord. But it enables you through IP platform to stream live terrestrial broadcast TV. So BBC One, BBC Two, ITV Channel 4, you no longer need a TV aerial to view that content, which gives you a huge amount of flexibility and freedom. You're no longer a slave to where the aerial point is in the room. You're no longer a slave to kind of choosing how you can access that sort of content. The other thing that Freely also supplies through its kind of incredible UX is the ability to switch between linear, catch up, and stream services all through the one platform. And it's a really, really seamless UX that is certainly being received very well.
And that's exclusive. Sorry, Phil, cutting
Go on.
across you there. That's exclusive to Hisense for a while.
So it was. There are other brands in the market now that have a Freely proposition, and obviously, you know, and Everyone TV are announcing kind of further brands coming through. That said, you know, my position sitting here, I would certainly say this, but we are still the kind of the major player within the Freely market as of now for sure, and I think that will be the case for the rest of the year.
It is a good proposition, and I've tested it out when I've had the two TVs here for review, and certainly my concern was going to be quality, because you just have to look at over the air a lot of these channels. The quality is not great because you have to have the SD channels before you find the HD channels further up the line. That's not the case with Freely, because it's tied to the TV. You get the HD channels. If the HD channels are available, those are served before SD channels. So from a quality point of view, you're getting that straight away. You're not getting the case where the partner accidentally or doesn't know puts a TV on and is watching BBC SD when there's an HD signal. You're actually getting HD served to you through the TV.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's that kind of real kind of simplicity of the UX, and obviously the complexity that sits behind it that gives it that kind of really seamless approach, and ultimately gives, as you say, consumers the best experience with, frankly, the minimum amount of effort.
Yeah. Of course, that'll come down to internet speeds and how content is served and so on. But I think we are, Jules, at a point now where internet, certainly across the UK, is at a point now where IPTV services tend to work, unless you're on a very, very poor service.
I know in my parents' house, they've got my old LG B8, I think it is. They have a problem with their router being in the other part of the house, so sometimes the iPlayer doesn't work properly. They can't get the HDR through that or whatever. But and I think Freely requires 10 megabits per second, so that's your minimum. Most of us, the vast majority of people have got at least that or more nowadays, so it shouldn't be an issue, I don't think. And HDR through iPlayer can look, and other places can look fantastic.
Yeah. And it's certainly a trend we're seeing, Rob. I'm not deliberately asking you to talk about other brands here, but we are seeing the smart TV platforms where, if it's a manufacturer's proprietary system and you're dealing with, the providers of the applications, you usually find it stuff that you want is there. Whereas the likes of Google TV, certainly there are things that are missing on those platforms.
Yeah, and I think that's why, kind of going back to the very first point, I think obviously having that kind of incredibly close tie with VIDAA gives us that kind of flexibility and insight. And those guys are very supportive of us and an understanding of the requirements that we have for the UK market, but equally obviously on a global basis as well. So I think having that kind of direct link into our kind of smart provider is a real asset, and something that we will certainly look to continue to try and maximize the benefit in the future.
Okay, let's talk flagships now. We'll come to the UAN in a second, because other than the UX, it is the flagship for the UK. But let's talk UX. Let's talk big screen sizes. I really impressed at CES with these models. Spent a bit of time watching. I mean, it was demo material. It's a show floor. It gives you a taste of the product. But I think just the screen size itself, 110 inches, that's we're getting into replacing your projector at that level, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, to be fair, I think the year before when we launched our 100 inch, it was when you first see the product, it looks like it's all the TV you could ever need. But obviously, the way the market is and the way that we are, bigger is always better. So to certainly go to CES, as you say, back in January and see the 110 in real life is quite something. I think also it's not for me, it's not just about the scale of the product, because obviously, as the products get bigger and bigger, for us, it's vitally important, and particularly for flagship, that the quality is remained, and the quality, in fact, is enhanced. So the UX for us certainly will be coming in early Q4 to the UK, which is really exciting news. So we will bring the 110 to the market. The key stats on it in terms of peak brightness around 10,000 nits, 40 odd thousand plus dimming zones, obviously 144 hertz QLED. The specification on the unit is incredible from not only an image but also an audio perspective, with obviously an inbuilt 4.1.2 CineStage X surround system within it. So it's a product that we're very excited about, and the expectation is for us certainly that this is the product that can provide that kind of paradigm shift in our brand kind of perception and presence, and open up a lot of new conversations, I think, about the Hisense brand in that kind of mid, and certainly within this instance, premium space.
And that's a point I wanted to make. you are now basically in the premium space. And you'll forgive me for saying, but it's a brand Hisense that has always been seen as a value proposition. What is the price point that you're talking about with UX, and how do you get that messaging over to the end user that this is a flagship product and this will compete against the other well-established brands out there that are known for the higher end product?
So in terms of pricing, I'm afraid it's not quite been released yet. We're still under a kind of official embargo on that, but it will certainly be, I think it will still represent good value for the scale and quality of the product that you'll be seeing. I think the point around obviously kind of the premiumization of the brand. I think if we go back in time and look at the kind of the evolution of some of our other real incumbent and strong premium brands, there has always been kind of a similar path followed, frankly, across all of those brands. And obviously, we're on that same journey as well. Our hope is that what gives people the confidence to buy into the Hisense brand at this perspective really is around the specification and performance. This is a TV built purely for show, frankly. It is kind of the pinnacle of the kind of technical envelope that we are currently pushing. And I think certainly coming out of CES with the number of awards and kind of best in show reviews that product received, we're very confident that from a technical perspective, this is something quite special for us.
And are you treating this as a halo product? Is it something that you're not going to shift volume with this product, are you? It's more about showing what the brand's capable of.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, we obviously have commercial targets for this, and we're bringing it in with a view that we'll bring quantity to sell, and we believe that certainly with the explosion that we're seeing in that super large market, this is very much a kind of a big opportunity for us. Also, within that kind of space in terms of the CI market, there are other things in the background that we are working on that will then, I think, open up this product and this kind of overall proposition that can tick a lot of boxes. So we will bring it in certainly, as you referenced, in terms of having that kind of halo experience, because this, as we say, this is the pinnacle of what Hisense R&D and as an organization we're about. But yeah, we still expect to sell a reasonable number of units of this product for sure.
Jules, any questions on the UX from your point of view?
It sounds, I mean, we can guess at the kind of price that it's going to be at, which would be, I guess, competitive for a sort of a top-end home cinema projector with screen. So it's going to be a difficult choice for people if whether they want that projection experience or they want the television experience. It is a different experience. I've always historically preferred projection for movies. I can see that it would be very, very appealing. The kind of specifications you're talking about, the number of dimming zones there, if you can suppress black effectively and keep it all down and keep the blooming, et cetera, in control, it could be a very, very compelling experience. So even at the prices you're talking as a halo product, it's still competitive with projection options. It could be very interesting to see when it comes.
Rob, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to ask, the elephant in the room here is laser TV. So you're now looking at these large screen, the direct view mini LED TVs, but you are also very well known for your laser TV approach, which is ultra short throw projection. So how do you offer both of these approaches without one cannibalizing the other?
So I think in terms of from a pure price point, in terms of our kind of obviously laser cinema price point versus UX, again, there will be obviously a significant delta there. So we're probably talking about two kind of different consumer demographics in that sense. But I think our position on this would probably be a little bit, we want to really be kind of agnostic in terms of technology. So yes, we do have a very strong laser ultra short throw business. Equally, we're moving now with products like the C1, C2 into that kind of more conventional longer throw. But we want to be in a position where we're a brand that are a very broad church, and we can offer consumers whatever it is they want. So if they are looking for that cinema type experience, but perhaps equally within an everyday environment, a bright room where they're looking to kind of watch traditional content as well as kind of movie nights, then potentially the brightness capabilities that the UX and, the performance that will have is perhaps a more kind of nuanced product for those guys. But equally, we still have a lot of focus on our laser proposition, and certainly see that as a category continue. I mean, we've had incredible growth this year, and certainly the expectation is that in certainly the pipeline for the coming years is that we will look to maintain and continue our focus into that space. Equally, within obviously some of our projection, we're going, 110 inches, obviously big on TV, but in terms of projection, particularly small with, models like C2 looking at a kind of a 300-inch throw, there are obviously a lot more options available through that platform.
Yeah. So let's talk TV. So let's move a little bit further down the line. And I've seen the U7 and the U8. I've had both of those in for review, and the reviews are up on AV Forums if anybody is interested in looking at this. But we'll talk about U8 first of all. So if we put UX to one side, it's a great TV, it's a Halo product. But actually, U8 is where it's at for you guys this year, isn't it, in terms of the top mini LED TV. So maybe tell us a little bit about that and inform the listener a little bit about that product.
Yeah, so as you say, the U8N, it will be our kind of our flagship volume product for this year. So obviously, it's a mini LED Pro platform, so it's our premium mini LED technology. Also carries our HiViewEngine Engine Pro, which is our most advanced AI powered processor, really kind of delivering some great performance in the background. Quantum Dot, as you'd expect, pretty much with all of our kind of 4K plus QLED type models. We have within the product, the U8 this year, we've seen a significant step forward on prior year in terms of performance. So a virtual doubling in brightness. So now up to HDR3000. So a real kind of strong performer there. The aesthetic for this year, personally, I know aesthetics are, are very subjective, but my feeling on the aesthetic is it's a much, much stronger execution. We've kind of moved away from the more obvious kind of fabric soundbar to a much more delicate and integrated speaker configuration, but still providing that 2.1.2 real strong audio with obviously built-in subwoofer. So, really strong audio performer, which we think is really important. And then certainly, kind of more than aware that AV Forums viewers will this will obviously be looking at the addition of kind of standalone soundbar to really bolster that. But from our perspective, as we go into flagship, we really want to make sure that we are offering consumers what we think is a really credible audio performance as well as particularly strong audio. I think this year, one of the big new technologies that our HiViewEngine Engine Pro can deliver has been Dynamic Tone Mapping Pro, which has been, I think, a big step forward year on year. I think, as with all things, there's always improvements can be made, and excited already to be getting some kind of first look at potential developments for 25, and how we're taking that on, further is particularly exciting. So I think year on year the evolution has been really strong. The range itself is slightly smaller in terms of SKUs. So last year the outgoing K series we had a 55, 65, 75. This year just two screen options really, and that's 75 and 65. So what we've certainly seen, and as the market has gone, but really that kind of premium space is being much more aligned to super or the larger screen size. So our UK and European lineup reflects that.
Yeah, and I had the 65 in for review. Now, I want to stress this to listeners because I think you're the type of brand who, certainly if I'd given a 7 out of 10. In the past, some brands would never speak to me again. That's not the high sense way of doing things, is it? Because you have had 7 out of 10s review wise from me. But I think you as a brand, you've taken that in the right frame of mind, because 7's not a bad score. It's just if you look at XYZ and maybe look to improve those, you're going to move further up the rank and you're going to get better scores. You do listen to feedback, not just from myself, but you do listen to feedback out there to try and improve the product.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, although Hisense is a kind of a global entity, we've been in the TV market for 50 odd years. Obviously, UK, we've been in the market around about 7. And obviously, the explosive growth that we've seen in the market across that period, now we are very fortunate to enjoy a position of number 3 in the UK market on value terms quite comfortably. having moved ahead of some real kind of stalwarts of the kind of CE and TV space. So the pace of growth has been enormous. And obviously, what's led that growth has been product quality and product innovation. And certainly, as you touch on, I think last year with our U7K, I mean, we scored, I think, a 7 out of 10 on your review. And obviously, we were keen to take learnings from your review. And I think, you know, we are a very kind of lean, agile, and quite a humble organization that if there are issues, we won't gloss over them. We won't, as you say, kind of throw our toys out the pram. It's something that's the organization is built about. How can we improve? How can we go forward? And that's really what the organization is always about. It's always looking forward. What's been is, you know, even last month is now gone. It's in the history books, and it's about how we can move forward and how we could improve. And that certainly comes across in our product development as well, across all elements as well. I mean, things, you know, a nice addition to our kind of U7 Plus models in the range this year is our new remote. So bringing in solar technology on a full scale remote with obviously shortcut buttons. Really pleased that that remote received a Red Dot Award, which is fantastic for us. And again, it's about kind of trying to bring in innovation into every single kind of step of our kind of product interaction that people have. Obviously, picture quality is key, and we obviously understand that as TV manufacturers, but it's something that, yeah, we're always looking to try and push the envelope and drive innovation for sure.
Yeah, and it's encouraging, and refreshing to get that from a brand. I think, and certainly you need to be applauded on the fact that you do listen to not just, you know, reviewers like myself, but you do listen to the whole market. You listen to your consumers, and you're out to make a better product. And that's all we ask as enthusiasts, isn't it, Jules? That, you know, at the end of the day, we just want good product. We're not here to give manufacturers a kick in. If we think something could be tweaked and make it a little bit better, then we should go
Absolutely.
that way.
Absolutely. And it's really good to hear that that you've been receptive to those, you know, and obviously the scores have gone up. So it's you know, it's good for everybody. I'm actually intrigued by the solar powered remote. Is it entirely solar? Are there any batteries, you know, any user replaceable batteries in there, or is it?
So obviously, so it's lithium ion. It's got a USB-C charge. So, but the design of it means that obviously it charges off of ambient light. So it's not a solar remote that you've got to go and put in the garden on a sunny day. But then, yeah, through the USB-C, a 10-minute charge will effectively give you 3 months. No, sorry, 6 months worth of charge. So it's yeah, it's the end of that kind of really annoying phase about 3 times of the year when the remote stops working and you're there banging it out away, trying to break it to get the last juice out of the batteries. So I think from that perspective, it's a really nice move forward. And obviously, from a kind of eco credential as well, it's good to be removing that kind of waste out of our kind of environment and system.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah. And gaming, you know, we tend to focus on the movie performance at AV forums. That's always been a driver for us. But of course, gaming's a huge area of the market. And it's nice to see that you have added the new Pentonic 700 SoC into your processor as well, which means that we're now seeing 144 hertz 4K and 120 hertz with Dolby Vision HDR as well.
So gaming for us obviously is a key market, and certainly a key focus for us. And certainly in our as you say, 144 hertz products for this year, we have a very strong kind of lineup on up with our 144 hertz Game Mode Pro. We're supporting FreeSync Premium Pro, which is obviously a fantastic proprietary technology. We also support 240 high refresh rate, if you obviously want down speed. And as you say, with that Pentonic chip, you know, offering Dolby gaming is a real kind of move forwards. And then I think for me, or well, not for me, actually, for my kids, I'm not cool enough to still game. But for my kids, you know, the addition of the game bar that we now see across a number of the ranges is one of those things that's it's a real nice to have, and has real kind of tangible benefits in that you can, while still playing, you don't have to exit the game. You can just dive straight into your content and adjust any kind of settings that you want, which is, yeah, a real nice to have.
I've got to say I was impressed this year with the UA and there is one thing that we need to point out, and I did point out in the review that there is a slight difference in terms of the panels that are used. So the larger screen, the 75 inch U8 has a IPS ADS panel, whereas the 65 is a VA panel. Do you know why there's a difference there, Rob, or is that just a decision that's made in development?
So I think, yeah, so largely I think that will be a development issue. It's not something that we have kind of an influence to say on a more local level. So that will be a kind of a global alignment in terms of product sourcing. But obviously from the various kind of panel suppliers, it's yeah, the market changes. So
Yeah, and 2,600 and I forget the actual number, but it's 2,600 plus net, and that's in filmmaker mode. So again, you're another manufacturer that has joined the UHDA alliance and introduced filmmaker mode. It's been on your TVs a couple of years now. So from a point of view of looking towards the movie viewer and some accurate image quality, you can get it from your TVs thanks to filmmaker. And your peak net brightness there on a 10% window is pretty impressive for this level of the market.
yeah, I mean, I think brightness certainly as we move forward, and obviously, there's recently been a lot of noise around some new mastering products that are coming through that will enable obviously content producers to be mastering at a much higher brightness level. Although there's obviously some niche titles, I think it's fair to say that you guys are always using not necessarily great titles, but niche titles that
I
have
think
some.
you're referring to Pan, aren't you?
I couldn't possibly comment. But yeah, so I mean, I think this kind of drive for brightness, is quite a polarized. There are lots of different opinions out there and different views, but I think it's one of those kind of realities that, if you build it, they will come. And our expectation, I think, along with other brands, is that in the not too distant future, we'll start to see a lot more kind of higher brightness mastered content coming through. And in order to achieve the benefits and enjoy that, then hopefully, as you say, the sort of specifications that you can see in a premium Hisense TV will be able to deliver a great experience.
Yeah, it's impressive to see that at that level of the market. And again, tone mapping, an improvement over last year as well, in terms of what you're doing with those nits. Obviously, content up to 1,000 nits, it doesn't need a lot of tone mapping. But yeah, a big improvement there. So well done on that one. Let's move down to U7N. So this is much more of a mass market product. And of course, your more screen sizes available as well to the end user.
Yeah, so U7 for us is our kind of hero line, and kind of this is the kind of the guts of our mini LED range. So here, as you touched on, a much wider range of products. So screen sizes from 55, 65, 75, 85, up to 100 inch. So again, kind of coming into this super screen size area, which is a market that we've seen grow exponentially. From a global perspective, obviously we are the number one global 100-inch TV brand, which is a great deal of I think pride within the organization around that. And certainly, if we touch on performance recently through the Euros, obviously as title sponsors, with a hell of a lot of activity running not just in the UK but certainly on a pan-European basis, the performance of 100-inch I think throughout Europe and beyond has been incredible. So I think as we kind of look forwards here, we're talking about our first 100, but obviously we will now bring in a wider range of these kind of super large screens. But yeah, U7 incredibly important for us. Again, Mini LED Pro technology, so still our flagship backlighting technology. Again, the HiView Engine Pro, so it's the real kind of latest in AI processing. Again, evolution year on year, quite significant, almost a doubling in performance. So this, if we look at year on year, this is effectively getting back to kind of our last year's U8K levels of performance in terms of brightness at kind of 1500 HDR. So a real significant step forward. And I'd say in many instances, it's kind of unusual to see that kind of step forward happen within one iteration of a kind of a product launch. But again, as with everything else, full HDR solution, we support Dolby Vision IQ. Again, color tone mapping, dynamic tone mapping pro, IMAX Enhanced Filmmaker. So there's lots of stuff for kind of the enthusiast there. Gaming, as we've touched on, is covered off in terms of similar specification for the U8. As through the Euros, obviously, we've got things like dedicated AI sports mode, which is really kind of great at bringing to life that kind of atmospheric environment for watching sport and TV. So yeah, a really strong performance. Again, 2.1 system with a built-in sub, strong audio. So yeah, it's a fantastic series. U7K for us this year has been a incredibly strong seller, and been a huge success for us. And I think this year, with the improvements that we've already seen, we have got very, very high expectations that the U7 is going to make a big mark on the TV market for this year.
And Rob, can I just ask about dimming zones on these models on the U7? How does that compare to the U8?
So obviously, dimming zones vary by the screen size, but we're probably talking around about the 75% level. So it's still particularly strong.
It's a step down model, so you don't get as many, but it's still
Not
reasonably good.
quite, but the performance on it, obviously at 1500 kind of nits peak brightness versus the 3000. So there's obviously a difference in performance there, but it still supports our mini LED pro backlighting configuration, which is our flagship kind of technology.
Off the top of my head, this will show you. I think it's 384 dimming zones on the U7N, off the top of my head.
For the
And
65.
for the 65 inch is the one I reviewed, yes. So 384 is a number that I seem to have lodged in my head. And I believe it's about 1100 nits in filmmaker mode off the top of my head as well. So yeah, really good performance specifications there. And I really like the fact that you're agnostic in terms of HDR as well. So all the formats, HDR10, HDR10+, HDR10+ adaptive. I'm pretty sure in the video I had to redo that bit about four or five times because I kept forgetting one of them because there was so many different IMAX enhanced in there as well. So yeah, in terms of screen sizes, you've kind of held back with the U8N, only having the two. Yet you've really gone to town with U7 all the way up to 100 inches. So again, what's the thinking behind that, and why is U8 not getting the super size screens here?
So I think certainly given the success we've had this year for the U7K, we know that it's a platform that can really kind of drive that mix between premium and volume, which is obviously essential for us. So I think certainly U7 with the full array of screen sizes this year will continue to be our kind of mini LED super large focus. But the U8N is perhaps for more of a slightly kind of a discerning consumer. 65, 75, when we look at the market size, we think that's really kind of the sweet spots for that kind of specific lineup for this year.
Yeah. One question I do want to ask, and it's something that we've seen from a few manufacturers over the last couple of years, is that the smart TV systems, so VIDAA, it has advertising being served on the smart TV system. And I know we've had a lot of negative comments from our users in terms of not Hisense, but manufacturers in general, serving advertising on the smart TV system. So from Hisense's point of view, is there a reason why you do that, and what is the reason behind the adverts being served on smart TV?
So, as you say, advertising on smart platforms is something that I think has been around for a while, and is certainly not unique to kind of the VIDAA platform as such. And I think it's something that is developing and is obviously continuously evolving and changing. So I think our approach is that we obviously, through VIDAA, as I say, although we have a direct relationship with VIDAA are a kind of their individual entity, so they have their own kind of their own ambitions. We obviously work with them in order to try and facilitate a harmonious kind of relationship with them, and making sure that we can kind of give consumers the very best in service and proposition. So it's something that I think we are continually reviewing, and certainly when issues or challenges are being made to the platform in respect of that, it's something that we will be taking on board and reviewing our future approach.
Excellent. Hisense is a company. Let's step back a little bit from TV. People might or might not be aware that it's not just TVs that you sell in the UK. You're very well versed in white goods, everything from fridge, freezers, and so on. So, as a company, you've been in the UK a few years now. How are things in terms of where you want it to be, and how do you see things moving forward in terms of your ethos and your strategy with the UK market, and where do you want to be in the next 5 years?
So yeah, as you quite rightly say, obviously it's not just all about TV, although obviously from my perspective it is. But certainly, my MDA colleagues have enjoyed a significant amount of success, and the growth within our white goods business within the UK has been incredible. And again, I believe in certain segments we've got very, very strong kind of market leading share positions. I think, where do we want to be? Well, the only way is up, the only way is forward. So, I think we have strong ambitions to grow as an organization into a brand that people love and engage with and respect. Hopefully through your dealings with us, our brand kind of meaning for us here is really one built around trust, honesty, integrity, and kind of doing the right thing. So that's something that we certainly want to build on in terms of that kind of the brand message as we move forward. Obviously, with activity such as the Euros and other kind of global sponsorship deals, it's really about kind of driving that brand awareness. But from a product perspective as well, it's about making sure that consumers are just loving their product. And I think that's one of the things that I've really enjoy seeing, that as much in some instances, the field that you've kind of touched on in terms of kind of expert reviews with AV Forms and yourself, sometimes historically we've had challenges, or not challenges, but scores of 7 out of 10 that, as you say, would be perceived as being major issues and kind of reasons for relationship issues, should we say, as we move for other brands. We're not like that, but what we do like to see is our consumer reviews, and it's amazing when we look at our consumer reviews about how much our consumers are enjoying our products, even down to some of our kind of more entry propositions. So it's really about kind of growing everywhere, delighting people, and continuing to hopefully bring innovation and excitement to some really strong categories of both across consumer electronics, but also across domestic appliance as well.
And just to wrap up on the TV side of things, I've got two final questions. Maybe Jules wants to jump in with some that he maybe has. But for me, the one thing that has been in your portfolio but seems to be missing at the moment is an OLED option. So is OLED still viable technology for Hisense? Is it still something that you're looking to develop, or are you more focused with mini LED at this time?
So as we say, we will be launching again. It's in Q4. It's coming a little bit later than we perhaps would have liked. So we will bring into the market our A85N series of OLED, so 55 and 65 inch, so just the two screen size that will come later in the year. So again, we want to be technology agnostic, whether or not it's super large screen, laser, TV, whether or not it comes into TV, it's mini LED, it's OLED, it's QLED, it's 4K UHD. Our proposition is we have something for everybody. For anybody can find what they need within the Hisense assortment. And to that end, we are kind of technology agnostic. We don't mind what you buy. Our view is that obviously mini LED, we believe, can give a stronger level of performance. And certainly as we move forward, we believe that the future of mini LED is bright, without that being too much of a pun. So that's obviously where our focus is. But yeah, OLED, we'll have a proposition launching, as I say, Q4 this year.
And Rob, being agnostic, have you chosen QD-OLED, or have you chosen MLA, or what kind of panels are going into those OLEDs? Do you know?
So I can tell you it's not QD-OLED, that's for sure.
Right.
So it's not a QD-OLED panel.
I mean, and OLEDs are getting really pretty bright now. When I measured an S95D Samsung at 2000 nits, I mean, that's pretty impressive. But as you say, what we know from grading studios driven by Sony basically is that they're pushing towards 4000 nits. I think it's going to take some time for that to catch up in the professional post-production market, but that's where there's certainly a degree of push from certain manufacturers.
And I think, and yes, I mean, definitely, obviously, as you say, with things like MLA and QD OLED and other innovations, then obviously across all TVs, frankly, obviously the level of performance year on year is obviously always being driven and kind of driven quite hard. But I think it's interesting as well when you look at other brands and what their approach has been to kind of OLED mini LED. I think, we're in a position now where these are and will be, I think, probably the next, 4 or 5 years for sure, the kind of the two kind of the premium technologies, and it's a case of one or t'other. So yeah, for us, I think it's about how we can really kind of push forward and drive both elements, but our view obviously on mini LED is where we believe the kind of the future lies.
And giant TVs. Obviously, you guys are now bringing in these super large TVs. So, from a UK perspective, because obviously that's your market, Rob. What is the data that you're working to here? And is there this push for these ultra large giant TVs? And are they selling? Are they selling volume?
Yeah, so I mean, we're certainly seeing significant growth. I mean, in terms of year on year, as it currently stands, within our current range that you can go out and buy now at all major retailers, we only have one model, which will be our 100U7K, which has been performing incredibly well for us. It's obviously a premium specified model. There are other much more entry type propositions out in the market within that space, but ours obviously occupies a kind of a higher end of the market, but certainly sell out on that platform this year has been particularly strong. I think what we're most excited about as we move forward into our 2024 range will be obviously 110 coming later, the 100 U7N coming in this year to obviously replace the U7K with the 3D platform across everything will be exciting. But then sitting below those, we will bring in a 100 E7N Pro. So kind of QLED Pro 144 Hz product, which is, I think, going to be a kind of a real sweet spot for that kind of 100-inch type market, and also an E7N, 100 E7N, so a slightly kind of lower spec, kind of QLED proposition. So still, again, versus the market, an improvement in kind of some products that are out there, but I think the view for 100-inch moving forward will be, yeah, significant growth. And certainly, we've started to see that within some of our other European markets where they've had access to that product slightly ahead of us here in the UK, particularly in time for the Euros, where we know, some of the markets have been enjoying kind of sell out in excess of more than 1,000 units a week, which is not bad going for 100-inch TVs.
Yeah, it is. And when it comes to that kind of screen size, you're talking about logistics as well in terms of delivery and so on. So as a brand, is that a factor when it comes to introducing these models and then through the dealerships that you're then selling those? Is that a factor?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if we one of the biggest challenges that we have is around the logistics and physicality of these products. That said, we work very closely with our retail partners, and they've been incredibly accommodating, not only to us obviously, but to the market. They've seen it, and they're the guys who are kind of, I suppose, in a way, proactively driving this trend. Without those guys' support, this wouldn't happen. So. But the logistics as we move forward certainly is throwing up some challenges that perhaps certainly didn't exist in recent years.
And has it had any impact on laser TV, or do you find that those two markets are slightly different in terms of what the consumer's looking for?
Yeah, as I say, I mean, this year we've had stellar growth again on our laser TV business. On what is effectively a pretty kind of stabilized and kind of legacy business. So we're certainly seeing growth there. And as I say, I think the kind of the consumer split between TV and that kind of projection type consumer is still significantly different enough that there's certainly a market for both.
Yeah. Jules, any final questions for Rob?
I'm not sure right now. We've covered a lot of territory in this, and there's plenty of different options there in the Hisense range for everybody, isn't there? I mean, there is there's huge TVs, there's small TVs, there's LED. You've got something in there for everybody. I mean, I'm guessing also my question as a calibrator is, I believe there's a Hisense auto cal available. Is that
Yes.
linked in with Calman, do you know? And does
Yes.
it? Yeah. I noticed in your review though, Phil, it wasn't enabled while it, when you one of the
Not
reviews.
yet, not yet, but it is
Yeah.
there. And again, that's refreshing to see, Rob.
Yeah.
That and obviously, I think it's Pentonic that's opened that channel up for you, hasn't it? To be able to add the Calman support.
Yeah, and I think as you say, these are things that as we kind of evolve, as we're evolving and kind of looking to try and push things forward, whenever there are opportunities for us to, potentially stray into areas where in the past, if we went back 2, 3 years, perhaps, Calman type calibrating on a Hisense product, you would perhaps be thinking, is there a requirement? But certainly, as we're kind of moving forward and the evolution, we're making sure that, wherever we can make sure that our proposition is kind of fully aligned to what the end user ultimately will require.
Yeah, no, and I think that's really healthy and positive. AV Forums users, not everybody, but many of them will want their TVs to be as accurate as possible. Obviously, Filmmaker Mode delivers a certain level of accuracy out the box, but we can always do better. And to be able to deliver that final few percentage of import of sorry of performance color wise is going to be very important to some people. So it's good to see.
Yeah, I think if there was any feedback from our side, Rob, to Hisense is keep it up. I think you guys are on to a winner there, and a few tweaks, and I say this every year in my reviews, a few tweaks here and there, adding some this technology, and I think UI, the UI is excellent. I think adding in AI has certainly helped you guys push on, and the likes of the Pentonic chip being added in there and giving you the features. So yeah, any from our side, it's keep up the good work. You're proving year on year that the products are definitely improving.
Excellent. Well, yeah, thank you very much for that, Phil. Thank you. And thanks,
Well,
Julian.
that wraps up our TV display and calibration edition of the AV Forums podcast for this week. Rob, it's great to see you. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll see you again soon, hopefully.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks very much, Phil and Julian. And
Yeah,
yeah,
cheers.
look forward to seeing you. Well, if not IFA, maybe at CES again.
Well, hopefully we might bump into each other at CES again. And don't forget, if you're out there watching and listening, our next episode of the AV Forums podcast is the Home AV edition, and that's on Monday, the 19th of August. And again, all our podcasts are available from 7 p.m. on the AV Forums podcast YouTube channel. So go and subscribe to that channel if you want those podcasts straight away. And also, audio-only versions are available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and other providers. And of course, that's every Monday. You get a podcast every Monday, you lucky, lucky people. Before we wrap up, though, we do have competitions, and we also have patrons and new patrons and so on. So, Jules, do you want to do the honours there and tell us all about the competitions?
Yeah, there's some great competitions this time that you can win a single Oslo home cinema seat worth £1,400, courtesy of Valencia Theatre Seating. And this features Italian top grain Nabhut leather, a powered headrest and lumbar adjustments, hidden arm storage, and LED lighting. The closing date on this and all the competitions, in fact, is 11:59 p.m. Friday, 31st of August, 2024. You can also win £500 to spend with MPB. MPB is the largest global platform to buy and sell and trade in used photo and video gear. And you can win a streaming system worth £2,400, which includes a Roxen Atessa integrated streaming amp and the Monitor Audio Silver 100 7G bookshelf speakers.
Excellent. And do we have any previous competition winners?
We do. We have Stevio67, who won a Denon AVR X1800H AVR worth 699, courtesy of Peter Tyson. We have BHX TC, who won a pair of QAQ6M40 powered micro tower speakers and QED digital cables worth £1,069. And we have Badger Stuter, who won a copy of Chinatown on 50th Anniversary Collector's Edition 4K UHD worth £40.
Excellent. And don't forget, competitions are open to eligible AV Forums members over 18, a resident of the UK. So basically, anybody but me, you can enter. Head over to avforums.com/ competitions to enter, and it's not just hardware. You can also win DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K discs, and so on. And there are also special competitions open to our patrons. Thank you very much for your support, patrons. And we've got some new patrons, Joe.
Absolutely. We've got Les Hewitt, Bruce Wood, and Mark Thatcher.
Excellent. And buying us a coffee was.
Yes, tea. Tea bought us three coffees.
Three coffees. Well, we'll enjoy those right now. But yes, thank you very much, everybody, for your time. Don't forget the next edition's coming very soon is the Home AV edition. And I'm Phil Hinton. Thank you very much for watching and listening. And we'll see you again soon. Goodbye.
Cheers.